From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's the Craig Needles Podcast at ClassicRock981.com, LondonNewsToday.ca, and wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, the Craig Needles Podcast is powered by our friends at Downtown London and the Covent Garden Market. We are thrilled to be joined in studio today by the Member of Parliament for London North Centre, Peter Fragascatos, is here. Hello, Peter. Thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about carbon tax, because that's the big thing this week. Of course, the carbon tax number went up on the 1st of April, and that has been the huge talking point for federal politicians, provincial politicians, everybody else. There was a lot of pressure on the government to not do this carbon tax increase, just in the face of the rising pressures on cost of living that Canadians are facing. Why did you go ahead and do it anyway is question one.
So there's a lot there. Let's keep in mind also that on April 15th, Ontario families can look forward to getting a rebate.
Right.
Right? $280. And that's given on a quarterly basis. This is something that allows for the transition to a greener economy to be affordable, much more affordable than otherwise. I think that if we look at the entire situation, though, put aside the issue of the rebate, we do have to act. We have a moral responsibility to act. This is an existential threat that faces the country, that faces the planet. Every single year, we see more floods, more droughts. That's going to continue. And yes, London is not Alberta. We're not northern BC. So we don't see those wildfires here. But I know that we see terrible air quality just last summer. In fact, I had a meeting with a physician, a pediatrician, just a few days ago. Just indulge me for a moment, because of all the meetings that I've taken over the years of being a member of parliament, this one probably left the biggest impression on me. She told me about a three-year-old little girl who's who was asthmatic. Unfortunately passed away because of the terrible air quality that afflicted our city last year. That terrible air quality was as a result of wildfires that we saw in this country. It really resonated with me because I have a little girl who is mild asthmatic. It's not a very serious situation, but we have to watch in the summers, and probably will have to watch in the summers from here on out. And there's countless other parents in the same situation. So we do have a moral responsibility to act from that perspective. We have a responsibility when it comes to the economy as well. The costs of climate change are enormous. We just have to look at what, among others, the insurance sector has said on this. Billions of dollars in increased costs. We need to reverse that, and we can, and there's ways to do it. Carbon pricing is one of those ways. The other options are regulation or pure subsidies, both of which are vastly more expensive than putting a price on carbon. And when you introduce a rebate, it makes economic sense as well.
All right, so I know that the rebate is there, and I'm looking forward to getting mine on the 15th. And I'm a one-car household. I live downtown. I walk to work. So the rebate is definitely going to be a net positive for me personally. However, I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this who say, hey, the rebate's not necessarily going to be a net positive for me. I live far outside of town. I use my vehicle for work, whatever it is. So I'm pumping a lot of gas. What would you say to those Canadians who feel as though they're going to get shortchanged by this?
80% of Canadians end up being better off here. They're made not just whole, but better than whole. We know that because the Parliamentary Budget Officer has confirmed that through what he's recently said and through studies that he has done on this very subject. As far as those Canadians that live, I think you're talking about in rural communities, there is a rural top-up that's been doubled now. So that will help. That will certainly help people deal with those costs that are there because of carbon pricing. On the whole, I think this is going to be and is a measure that is affordable. And again, what are the alternatives? Actually, I didn't mention one other alternative, which my conservative friends seem to champion, unfortunately, and that's doing nothing. And I don't think that's realistic. Now, they would come back and say that Canadians look at the numbers. In terms of total emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, we're responsible for around 2% of global emissions on an annual basis. That is true. But if you take all the countries that emit around 2%, you end up with around one-third of global emissions. So if every country that emitted around 2% as Canada does said, well, you know, we're going to not do anything here. We're going to wait for China's situation to improve with respect to emissions. The US, India, Russia, other key leading global emitters, we're just going to not do anything until they do something. then I think that would be extremely irresponsible. We do have to act. And in tandem, we see not just carbon pricing. We see real movement towards a greening economy that is going to lead to more jobs. Volkswagen in St. Thomas down the road is just an example of that. So, look, I think you were going to ask me something, and I jumped the I jumped the gun to talk about those particular issues. But this is how I see it.
What about, you mentioned the Parliamentary Budget Officer. That's on the cost of fuel, but did that study also include, you know, the price of groceries going up because, you know, the cost of getting groceries to the store is higher and for farmers is higher and so forth, so therefore your produce is going to cost more money and things along those lines. Did that study include that as far as Canadians being made whole by the rebate?
He has commented on that recently and said, yes, carbon pricing does have some kind of effect, but it's a fraction. That's his particular term. The governor of the Bank of Canada, Tiff Macklem, has also said that carbon pricing with respect to inflation, it's not, you can't say it's zero, but the effect is negligible, especially when we look at what really drives costs at grocery stores, and that is climate change.
Right.
I'll give you an example. It was not just a few months ago, about a year and a half ago, I had many calls into our constituency office from Londoners asking about something very particular, the cost of lettuce. The cost of lettuce had gone up tremendously, and it's still high. It's come down a bit. But I wondered, like, what exactly is driving this? And it turns out that, of course, we do import most of our vegetables, including lettuce, from California. California had experienced a drought. You don't have to be an expert, a PhD in economics, to know that supply and demand factors matter here. And so when you have high demand and limited supply, in this case of a particular product like lettuce, you're going to have, you know, a really high price at the grocery store. That was driven by drought. Drought is driven in the main by climate change. And so we have to look at these things holistically. There's the moral side to it. There's the economic side to it. I go to the grocery store. You know, I was there with my wife yesterday, as a matter of fact. I see those prices, but the price on carbon is not driving that. In fact, climate change is driving, of all the factors at play in terms of grocery store, inflation we see at grocery stores, it is climate change. The war in Ukraine has had a dramatic impact because of the way that's impacted grain prices. These are, I think, things that need to be kept in context in the discussion.
I would also add, for perhaps the context, there are three companies that own all the grocery stores that are gouging us.
Well,
that's
I'm
just
happy.
Me. Yeah.
I'm happy to talk about that. I've been on record
for some time now.
Yes,
I've seen the videos. I've seen the clips from Ottawa.
Yeah, no, Galen Lewiston and I had a good discussion on this about a year ago, and I'm quite clear, and I hope the government continues to look at this. The government has moved in this direction, which is looking at increasing competition. We do have basically a monopoly system when it comes to the grocery store situation in Canada. There's just a few companies that are in charge of the whole thing. And I think if we're going to see better prices at our grocery stores, yes, climate change is a factor. Things like the war in Ukraine is a factor. But a lack of competition is an issue. And Minister Champagne, Minister of Industry for this country, is looking very seriously at this question of increasing competition in the grocery sector.
And I think that definitely is something that needs a long look. On the carbon tax, before we move on to one other topic I wanted to ask you about, this is a time when cost of living is high for Canadians. So when, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, Pierre Poilievre saying, hey, now's not the time to do this. There were various premiers, of course, of the conservative persuasion across Canada saying, hey, this is going to be a tough time for us to do this. Doug Ford was saying this. Brad Wall was saying this. Did it ever get into the discussion within the government of, okay, hey, maybe we lighten this increase in the carbon tax, or hey, maybe we push this off for another couple months, try to get some other things sorted?
I was quite happy to listen to Premier Moe in particular, but Premier Smith also.
Oh, Premier Scott Moe. Excuse me, I said Wall.
That's okay. Yeah, that's quite fine.
it's not dissimilar. Please continue.
Yeah, no, they're very similar in terms of their outlook. There's no question about that. Easy to confuse them. Yeah. As far as Premier Moe, he made clear that in Saskatchewan, they looked at options. They looked at regulation and what that would mean. They looked at subsidies and what that would mean. It turns out those two options are, as I said before, vastly more expensive than carbon pricing. It seems like Premier Moe wants to do nothing. Premier Smith, there's a video circulating now on social media. And I think it's video from before her time as premier, which shows she's playing political games here, saying that carbon pricing actually works, that you end up not just being made whole, but better than whole. And I think that's something that I remind conservative friends of. I also remind them, people like Stephen Harper, right, talking about carbon pricing and how that would be beneficial. Preston Manning, this is a very conservative idea. It's a market-based approach. Unless Mr. Polyev wants to regulate every sector of the economy, but he's against gatekeepers, so he, of course, doesn't want to do that. Or he wants to listen to a good portion of his caucus that wants to apparently use some kind of technology not invented yet, vacuum cleaners in the sky taking out CO2. Things like this are what we hear in Ottawa sometimes from conservative colleagues. I don't mean to be partisan on this. In fact, we should not be partisan on it. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem calling to account those that want to play political games around such a serious issue. It works. The way that we've priced carbon, that mechanism does work. It works because polluters pay. If you look at the rebate. Why do 80% of Canadians end up better off? Because heavy polluters are the ones that end up paying the most. And conservatives now want to ruin the rebate, that quarterly payment that Canadians have come to rely on. I don't think it makes sense.
I'm of the belief that obviously climate change is a significant issue, perhaps the most significant issue of our time. We've got to do something about it. The debate's always going to be, what exactly do we do? So your government has laid out your plan. I just want to hear what the other plans are. And maybe there's a better plan out there. I don't know, but let's hear about it.
I would love to hear that too. Mr. Polyev is talking about technology, just using that word. I'm not sure what exactly he means by that. Perhaps he will be clearer in the coming months and over the course of the next year. But I think we'll end up with a situation that compares exactly with 2019, when Andrew Scheer put out an environmental plan that included really pictures, nice trees, parks, streams, but no plan at all. That's not a responsible approach to take, considering the current situation. Again, we have a responsibility, and also let's look at the economic side, as I said too. I mentioned Volkswagen. Stellantis is down the road, and the battery manufacturing plant that's being constructed in Windsor, thousands of more Canadians employed that way. There are huge economic opportunities that come with the green revolution that's unfolding before our eyes.
And we will see how that progresses from here. I do want to ask you about school lunches. Sure. And typically asking a federal member of parliament about something going on at school is, crossing jurisdictional lines. The province handles schools. School boards handle schools. Why did the federal government think it was a good strategy to announce, $1 billion for school lunches for kids who are in need? Which, to be clear, great idea. Kids should be able to eat if they're hungry. However, this is typically something the province would handle because it's a school thing. So why was that the right move for the federal government?
Well, let's look at the situation in context as well. We have the Canada Child Benefit. That measure alone has lifted hundreds of thousands of kids out of poverty since 2015. I believe the most recent number is in and around 500,000 kids that have been lifted out of poverty, as I say, including in this community. If you look at the riding that the constituency that I represent alone, you could fill the Budweiser Gardens, 9,000 plus seats in there, with there's 9,000 plus kids that are getting the CCB, the Canada Child Benefit, every month here in the community. So that goes a long way, but it's not enough. It's not enough because we still have kids that are going to school hungry every day, and it's not acceptable that we allow that to continue. So yes, schools are in the jurisdiction of provinces, but I would be very surprised if provinces didn't want to work with us on this. The most recent analysis that I've seen shows that families would save $190 per month per child as a result of this policy. It also, and there's different studies out there, but there's a study that looks at Sweden's example. There's also the example of China, but just stick with Sweden for a moment because that's where you can have more of a comparison, frankly.
Right.
You have more work hours contributed as a result of the fact that there's less time that's needed to prepare breakfasts on a daily basis. It frees up time in the household. You don't have to worry about...
I can personally imagine how that might be a little bit easier, yes.
it makes things easier for families too. So there's a cost savings, again... And there will be different analyses out there, but the one I've seen, quite serious analysis, looking at $190 per child per month saved. That is a huge gain for families in this community and across the country, not to mention the economic benefits that I just touched on.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you right now, Last night I got home, I did my afternoon show, went and did a Lightning game. It was a little after 10 p.m. My wife had fallen asleep. I'm like, oh, I guess I got to make lunches. I would have liked to have gone to bed. So yeah, maybe if there was a lunch program, I wouldn't have to worry about it.
And let me just say, because there could be some confusion on this, it does need to be universal, because if you have a sort of carve out, for lack of a better word, where it's certain kids getting from low-income families, then obviously we have a stigma situation
there. I agree.
Kids from low-income backgrounds categorized, and that that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. That would not be a responsible thing to do at all. That's why we have a universal approach. Government's put serious money on the table to make this happen over the next few years. And it needs to happen. In fact, the finance minister said it should happen sooner rather than later. We're looking at the start date to be for the 2024-2025 school year.
Wow, so that's September. So we've got to get a move on here.
But we need partners. And so at the provincial level, I hope there's provincial governments and premiers in particular and ministers of education that see the utility in all this, much like climate change, totally different issues, but still the principle holds. It makes moral sense, and it makes economic sense for families too.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And so, have the conversation started with Doug Ford as an example, or how does that begin? Do you think
it begins with phone calls? It begins with discussion. While there's disagreements between provincial and federal governments, and including the provincial government here in Ontario, in that. I would be very surprised if members of provincial parliament on the conservative side, if ministers, if the premier himself didn't want to get behind a policy that's going to save families a lot of money each and every month.
Well, we'll leave it there unless there's anything else you want to add on either carbon tax or on school lunches, Peter.
No, I think we've touched it. This is particularly pricing carbon or call it the carbon tax, use whatever term you wish. It is a matter of controversy, but I ask those who oppose it, in particular my political friends across the aisle, what's the alternative? Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to regulate the whole system to put a cap on emissions in every sector and enforce that? That's one way to do it. You can do it that way. Do you want to subsidize everything? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to be paying more in tax if we go that route. Right. Do we want to do nothing? That's an option too. Not a very good one at all.
That's the worst option. So that's what I say. I think that if you have an issue with pricing carbon, okay, we can talk about that. I'm more than willing to have a debate and honest conversation about what we do instead. But we're not doing anything is not an option. That's not to be considered.
Yeah. Look, I talked about Harper. Yeah. I talked about Preston Manning before. No less than an economist like Milton Friedman, who's passed away now, but he is apparently a guiding light, as Mr. Polyev says, would keep his books on his nightstand in his teenage and university years. Well, Milton Friedman, Free to Choose, his landmark book, says that pricing carbon is putting a price on pollution is the way to deal with things like environmental crises of the type that we're facing right now.
The best way to make something scarce is to make it expensive.
You have economists like Milton Friedman, not to mention, I think, 200 plus economists that came out the other day, Canadian economists, saying that this is the right thing to do. But take it away from the academic classes. This is something that makes sense. As I said, the rebate matters. It helps in the context of affordability. If there wasn't a rebate in place, yes, I could understand how people would and how opposition parties could feel this particular way. I should say opposition party, because the NDP and the Bloc have no real problem with carbon pricing at all, nor do the Greens, clearly. So that's where we are. I think we have to deal with facts, and the facts are clear that carbon pricing is the most effective mechanism government can put in place from a policy perspective to address the crisis of climate change.
We will leave the conversation there. Peter, as always, thank you for coming in. Appreciate you coming to say hi.
Great to see you.
That's Peter Fragasgatos, the Member of Parliament for London North Centre, joining us here on the Craig Needles podcast, which, of course, you can find at londonnewstoday.ca and classicrock981.com. The Craig Needles podcast is powered by our friends over at the Covent Garden Market and downtown London.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.